This issue is an issue that's very near and dear to my heart because it involves first and foremost children. And children are the targets of these traffickers for all these different purposes, number one. The second reason is because Florida is such a hub of tourism, such a hub of hospitality. We've got beautiful waters, beaches, etc. So we see a lot of labor trafficking as well, which our state just is ground zero for this.
And mainly it's migrant worker labor.
Correct.
We have it right in our area down in Hastings.
We do. And there was a case a few years ago where there were these traffickers figured out, okay, who are the marginalized that we can take advantage of? And homeless people came to mind. They went to the Clara White Mission, picked up some homeless people, took them down to this Palatka labor camp, and were exploiting them. They are serving prison sentences, but that's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the labor trafficking issues, as well as the sex trafficking issues. And public awareness is ground zero for systemic change. And our city and our country, we're not talking about it near as enough as we should.
And you've partnered with the Dolores Barweaver Policy Center on this effort. Dr. Rivora, your advocacy group has been instrumental in pushing this to the forefront. Tell us about your involvement.
Well, certainly we are concerned about the exploitation of women and girls, particularly, as well as all children. And our involvement is to promote the concepts around protecting the Safe Harbor Act, which was our legislature got it right last year in passing Safe Harbor, that would stop locking up girls and young women who are victims of sex trafficking and instead ensure that they have access to treatment. And we want to make sure that we protect that and to advocate for safe houses, because right now in North Florida, we do not have any safe houses available when young women or young men are picked up and are victims of trafficking. So we're involved in the advocacy to bring safe houses to our community.
And we'll go to your calls on the effort to combat human trafficking in Florida in just a moment at 549-2937. Kay Chernush, you're the founder and director of Artworks for Freedom, and you're launching your first U.S. campaign right here in Jacksonville. Sad that this is the reason that brought you here, but it's exciting to have you here. Tell us about this campaign. It's going on all through the month of February.
It is. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Artworks for Freedom uses the power of art to address the issue of human trafficking. It's a very formidable and innovative way of raising awareness and educating the public about this human rights atrocity. It's global, but it's also right here in the U.S. It's here in Jacksonville. It's real, and it's important that we all band together to work on this issue.
And Crystal, there's artwork on display, there's going to be a film series, lots of opportunities for people to take this in. Can you tell us about it?
It's a very dark subject, as we all know, but it's a subject that we must prepare ourselves and our children must know, and our friends and our family, so that we can better protect ourselves to stop this atrocity from occurring. Whatever you enjoy, whether it's the visual arts or the performing arts, we've got something that will appeal to you. We even have an internationally known investigative journalist by the name of Benjamin Skinner that will be coming to the University of North Florida to speak about this issue. Interestingly, in his book, A Crime So Monstrous, he describes taking a plane from New York City JFK and purchasing a child in Haiti pre-earthquake for $50. So this is an issue, like Kay said, it's very much global, but it's also local because we have had arrests and prosecution. Callers can Google Ian Sean Gordon. He was selling a 15-year-old girl at a motel off of Atlantic Boulevard, keeping her completely naked so she wouldn't run. And she was able to face her trafficker. And ultimately, one of the reasons, I think, is why he got life in prison.
And what are your questions and comments about human trafficking, particularly here in Florida? It is the third highest ranked state in the nation when it comes to instances of trafficking. Modern day slavery, 549-2937. Let's go to Paul in Orange Park. Hello, Paul. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Melissa. I can't think of a more important issue that we need to be making people not only aware of, but up in arms about. I have helped raise three daughters. They all turned out very well. I can't imagine how anybody has the hatred to enslave these girls and boys. And you know, I think as a society, we should come together and make this as rare as a lot of other things that we don't tolerate.
Paul, yeah, and I so thank you for the call, Paul. Here's an email from a listener. Enslaving underage teens into the sex trade is a crime against humanity. If we want the title of the greatest country in the world, we must take the cause of investigating and prosecuting these people who enslave minors. Many of these victims are controlled by being forced into addiction. We need better law enforcement, longer mandatory sentences for traffickers, and raising public awareness, as you're doing on the radio this morning. Kay Chernish, and art, using the arts, has an impact.
It does, yes. Well, thank you for both of those calls. The trafficking, traffickers don't traffic people because they're mean. They traffic because there's huge profit involved. And I think that's a very important issue to recognize. It's huge profit and very, very low risk. Trafficking is now the second largest, it's the fastest growing criminal enterprise in the world. It's overtaken drug trafficking because, after all, you can sell and resell a human being, whereas drugs are used up. So through the arts, we try to provide the experience, something so that people can experience something of what it means to be enslaved. And from there, you can then take action in whatever way feels comfortable for you.
And here's a tweet from a listener. What about the Super Bowl and human trafficking? And what is the NFL doing about it? Dr. LaWanda Rivora, the Super Bowl, which just happened on Sunday, there was renewed focus on the fact that girls are trafficked heavily around that event every year.
Every year, it's a major issue. And certainly we know that the Super Bowl is one of the venues where girls particularly are trafficked. And if we look, though, right here in Florida, over the last few years, there were 1,266 human trafficking cases just investigated by our Department of Children and Families. And so it's a family issue, it's a children's issue. And certainly we have to look not just at the sports venues, but motorcycle races, car races, all of those kind of events who bring lots of people. And as Crystal said, the tourist industry is what makes our state so vulnerable.
So vulnerable. And in a moment, we'll speak with these guests about how you, the listener, can be part of the solution. But right now, let's take a few more calls. Katie in St. Augustine. Hello, Katie. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. How are you?
Great, thanks.
Good. I have worked in a few restaurants in St. Augustine over the last 20 years or so, and there has always been an influx of mainly Eastern Europeans that do kitchen work, and some friends of mine and I have always suspected that there's something a little shady because they never want to engage or, you know, be social with any of the other staff. And they seem to be very timid about what they do, regardless of the language barrier. And we were just wondering, what do you do when you suspect something like that? What law enforcement agency do you contact?
That's an excellent question, Katie. I've thought that many times myself, because you always hear that restaurant workers, particularly in smaller shops, very often those are trafficked employees. How can us, all of us, the public, how can we be more aware? What signs should we be looking for, and what can we all do?
Well, the first thing I would do is call the National Human Trafficking Hotline. That number is 1-888-373-7888. And it's manned by an organization called the Polaris Project. And they will take the information. And sometimes when I give talks in the community, people are leery of calling police because they're said, you know, I don't know if this is really true. I don't want to get people in trouble.
Right.
So it kind of...
You're not sure if your hunch is right or not.
That's right. But I would highly, highly encourage callers to call that 877-377-8888 number, because someone that understands what to ask, they will get the information from you and then route it to the specific law enforcement applicable agency.
Kay.
Yes, I agree with that. And beyond that, people can volunteer time, talent, get involved, be aware of the of other signs. People who may be working in private homes as domestic workers. This is a very large area of trafficking. People who don't have agency, who can't leave of their own free accord, who maybe, they don't have their own papers. They don't interact freely. There are many things that you can be on the lookout for. Read, Google is a wonderful resource, and there are many organizations like the Policy Center, like Polaris Project, like Artworks for Freedom, where time and talent is most welcome.
Mike in St. Augustine's on the line. Hey, Mike, how are you? Good morning.
I'm good. How are you doing, Melissa?
All right.
I have a question that's sort of related to the previous question. Because so many people are here illegally, do they have any protection under the law to come forward, any sort of immunity law or anything like that?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Thank you for that. Crystal?
So they do. Under the Trafficking Victims Protection Act, which is a federal law that was enacted back in 2000, anyone that has been trafficked is eligible for what's called a T visa. However, whether or not they're protected is another issue. So there is federal legislation that allows them to stay here, but it requires them to cooperate with law enforcement. And unfortunately, it's been a mixed bag of whether or not they've been trafficked, because these cases are notoriously difficult to put together and they're highly dependent on that victim. And so what we've been seeing are some trends where we've got ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, not certifying these cases.
Yeah. And here's an email from a listener named Martha, which plays into that. How do you use the term trafficking as something different from prostitution? How do you reasonably determine whether the person is voluntarily participating? LaWanda Rivora, the Dolores Barr Weaver Policy Center, works very hard on helping girls and women who've been trafficked but are penalized as prostitutes. Yes, that's part of what you do.
Absolutely. And I would ask the caller to think about this in terms of children. When we talk about prostitution, a child doesn't make the decision or have the choice when they are being trafficked. And this is abuse. It's sexual abuse. It's physical abuse. And certainly we have to understand the exploitation, and particularly the sexual exploitation of girls and young women. And I think that we often blame the victim instead of seeing these young women and as victims. And it's really critical that we reframe that conversation.
And also, when I speak or when I've read accounts of prostitutes and you know, when they come forward, I liken it to, I have a 10-year-old daughter. If I tell her, this is all you're worth, she's going to grow up to be a young woman, to be a woman that thinks this is all she's worth, this is all she can do. And so while we think that prostitution is something that's volitional, there may be that out there, but there's always a pimp. There's always somebody exerting control. And there's always a sick sort of connection between them.
Robert emails the show, many think trafficking has to do with prostitution, but in Florida, the most prevalent form is agricultural. A prominent author, Patrick Smith, who died just last week, wrote an incredible historical fiction on this subject titled Angel City. It chronicled the so-called work camps where people were enslaved into agricultural work. Does the Artworks for Freedom exhibits, Kay, that are all across town now, get into that aspect of this, the agricultural workers?
They do, yes, very much. Actually, the labor trafficking, exploitive labor trafficking, is the largest piece of human trafficking and gets maybe the least attention. There are quite a few images in the bought and sold exhibit in Hemming Plaza now. That address that issue directly. There's an unending supply. Because we have a demand for cheap goods, for cheap produce, there is really an unending pressure on
and
labor
And so we're
practices.
All unwittingly part of this problem.
We are,
our,
in
as
a way,
consumers.
It's intertwined in our lives and as consumers, and that's what we're trying to do, is to change how people think about the issue and to change behaviors.
Lynn at the Beaches, thanks for holding, Lynn. Good morning. Go ahead.
Yes, I want to direct this more also in the relation to education. We have a lot of children, kids, that come into schools mainly because the people that have them don't want to have them running around during the day because their neighbors will report. But when an effort is made to contact Tallahassee, which used to have services to assist with these kinds of things, it's very difficult because the governor has cut back so much money and available personnel to be, you know, to be able to contact local people that can assist with something like this. Florida is unique in the sense that most people that are migrating within the United States, for example, come through Florida. And many of these people have lost their jobs up north or living literally in cars. So schools are a source for finding out, the conditions that some of these children are living within. And usually these kids or girls and boys are kept in a home for a while in the in-between time. But it's been around for quite a while, and I have to say Lutheran Social Services has been very helpful in this area. Yeah. And also my church happened to have the Threads group come and one evening during the weekend and talk about their work, and that was very insightful.
Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. Thanks for all that. Dr. Rivora, the Dolores Barr-Weaver Policy Center, in addition to everything else that's going on this month, you're also doing a workshop about this later in the month, correct?
We are. What we have found is that our clinicians and care managers in the community are really struggling with how to effectively provide treatment and intervention to the complex needs of particularly young women who have been victims of trafficking. So we are bringing in an expert to provide that kind of training that they need so that we can build the skills right here in our community and be more effective in providing services.
And that's really important because we don't want a sort of patch framework for the standard of care for these victims. And so I really commend the work of the Policy Center because they're very research driven. And this is a program that LaWanda, actually, you visited in Boston, right?
Yes, and I quite agree. Kudos to all three of you. Look for the display in Hemming Plaza and much more throughout the month. We'll have more about this on our website later today as well. Crystal Freed, Dr. LaWanda Rivora, and Kay Chernush, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.